Welcome to Lift. This is season 7 of this podcast, where this season we're going to be talking still about faith in life, but we're going to be asking questions about faith. We're going to start this season asking about Lent and the season of Lent as Christians. Why do we celebrate it? What is it? And why does it matter to me? I'm hoping that you will find new insights into Lent, Holy Week, and Easter. Then we're going to continue to ask questions about faith, questions that you probably have that maybe you've just never asked, maybe questions your kid have asked you that you don't quite know how to respond. We're going to dive into those and see what it can mean for us and how asking questions can help us connect to our faith. Well, here we are again, and Winston is back with me. Hello, Winston.
Hello, howdy.
Hey, you got a haircut.
I did.
Y'all can't see it, but he's looking sharp.
No, my 15-year-old loves cutting hair, so I was like, all right, man, let's see what you got, and let's knock all this off. So,
are you going to grow it back out?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Do you know I used to have short hair my whole life?
Really?
Yeah.
What made you grow it out?
COVID.
Really?
And then I was like, oh, I kind of like it. And so now I don't have to go to the hairdresser as often and that kind of stuff, so I now have long hair.
Oh, you have to show me a picture of what you have.
My whole adult life I had short hair.
Really?
Yeah.
I had dreadlocks one time. Like,
nice.
Down to like here, my shoulders.
Your shoulders?
Yeah.
Nice.
And they were dyed too.
What color?
Bleached. They were like a bleached yellow.
I need that picture.
It was cool.
You know, I was a goth girl in high school.
Okay, what?
And I dyed my hair black. That's a whole other podcast.
Yes.
Okay, today you were asking me.
Yeah. So this one is going to be very, very interested to hear your answer to this question. So really excited to hear this one.
The more you talk, the more nervous I get. What's the question?
Well, it's a simple one. It's how and when did you know that Christianity was for you, not only Christianity, but Methodism was for you?
Did you just say that's a simple question?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Straightforward.
Okay. God. I grew up in a Christian home.
Okay.
Never known life without God.
Okay.
So I don't have this beautiful story of like conversion or like I've just always had God in my life.
Always surrounded by it.
There are times where I've ignored God in my life.
Right.
But church, I mean, I was at church every Sunday. Even when I was making some poor choices in my life, I would be at church on Sunday morning.
I was going to say, you never had like an angsty teens that maybe
drifted away?
And...
I was an angsty teen. You know, one of the most popular podcasts that we have on this is from my book, and it's chapter 10, I believe. The chapter is titled, You'll Have Days When You Don't Like Who They Are, talking about our children. And I was trying to figure out who I could interview that would actually admit we don't like our kids all the time. Like, that's a hard thing to say out loud. I interviewed my mom. So, yes, angsty teen, I was it. We called it the dark phase. And I'll say, even in college, I wasn't an active, you know, we talked about fears. That's my other fear.
Yep.
That it just popped in my head is that my kids don't continue their faith journey. But anyhow, so in college, I was not as active in my faith. Cody's pretty active in his faith, in his development. I kind of went to Ash Wednesday service at the campus, or I went to this. I tried, like, I tried to volunteer at a church, but I was just a little bit more focused on myself and the parties and my studies. So I was always a Christian. Like, that was just it. I've always gone to church. Methodist. Again, I grew up Methodist.
Okay.
My grandfather was an EUB pastor, which merged with the Methodist Church in the 60s. Like, it's just been...
What's EUB?
Evangelical United Brethren.
Okay.
EUB. It's up north. But they merged with the Methodist Church, which then what made it the United Methodist Church. But Methodism and its core is something I can easily identify with. I love John Wesley's, I love how he chose to treat and talk about and preach to, evangelize to, but pastor the whole human. Hmm. So John Wesley, I mean, in the get-go, part of his problem was we only preached to people who knew the message. We didn't preach to anybody outside of the walls of the church. So, like, there's these stories of him preaching on his daddy's grave and, like, out in the cemetery and out in the streets. And I love that ability that he had to see that there was so much more that we could do, right? Yep. Do you know why we're called Methodist?
No.
It was actually kind of a slang term. It, like, made fun of us because John Wesley was so methodical in the things that he did. So John Wesley is the founder of Methodism.
Yeah.
Like, just need to – I think I said that. I'm not sure. But, like, he has, like, rules on how to have a small group. He has rules on singing. But in that, it's talking about how to, like, immerse all of yourself. He also was a huge advocate of education. He was a huge advocate of healthcare. He was a huge advocate of taking care of yourself in a grand way, in a different way, in a new way. So that I can lean into. I also love his view of God's grace in our lives. I think there's a lot of churches that might have high expectations but don't have the grace that go along with it. And I can lean into that. Now, what...
Now, when you say churches, do you mean like an actual physical church or like a you know how you have that poster in your office that's the different religions or...
Denominations. Yeah,
denominations. So do you mean like a different denomination or an actual...
I mean, yes and.
Both?
But I would say denomination.
Okay.
But, and so, but I think there's other denominations I could connect with.
Yeah.
Methodism. Listen, I grew up Methodist.
Yeah.
My husband grew up Catholic.
Okay.
I think I can appreciate and respect a lot of things about the Catholic Church. It's not my lane.
Right.
Especially as a female pastor. There's that. But I do think the Catholic Church does an excellent job of prioritizing education with their churches. But, like, so Dan and I, we church shopped when we first got married.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, remember, the guy married a school teacher, not a preacher, who liked to sleep in on the weekends, I'm not going to lie. I grew up in a high church, Methodist church. You dress nice on Sundays,
right.
Very traditional. We said the creeds, da-da-da-da. Dan grew up in a Catholic church, which was obviously a high church, creedal church, but also his family, it wasn't as ingrained in their family rhythms as growing up in church was for me.
Okay.
But finding a balance for us, it's also a hard time to find a church. There's not very many churches who have a thriving young adult program.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are kind of sleeping in. I mean, there are. It's out there. There's good stuff out there. I like, keep looking. Keep going. Like, there's there. But we went to a variety of different churches, and I remember we went to a certain non-denominational church for a while because our friends were going there, and we weren't active. Like, we were the walk-in, walk-out, like, we'd go to church and go home kind of thing.
Okay.
I, at that point, wasn't overthinking the theology that was coming from the pulpit, which is probably a good thing, but we went to one Christmas Eve service, and it felt like a Britney Spears concert, and the message wasn't about Jesus, and I was like, all right, I'm out. Like, I'm out. Now, I do see a lot of my friends go to churches not because of the theology or the name on the door, but on how their family is connected to the church.
The social part of it, right? Right.
Which I don't think is bad either, as long as you can swallow that theology, you know?
Right.
Like, my son was going to a church his first year of college, and he had a good community there, and I was surprised this year when he started going to a different church. I was like, I thought you found your place. He was like, I found my people, but I couldn't get over the sermons. Like, they weren't theologically
aligned
with what Cody believed. And he was like, I was having theological debates every Sunday through the sermon. He was like, and I was just tired of it. I'm not saying they were... Well,
were they Methodist churches or
no?
They were non-denominational.
No,
okay.
I care that my kid goes to church.
God, I was going to ask you that. Yeah,
I would appreciate if he went to a church that uplifted women clergy.
Okay,
but at the same time, I'm not going to that church. So, in fact, I think the church he was going to last year didn't, and I just chose not to think about that too often. But it worked out. Like, he...
Yeah.
But me, like, demanding him go to a different church because mom is a pastor, that doesn't... I'm not going to that church. He is.
Right.
And he knows who he is and who he isn't, and it took him a minute, and he worked it out, and...
And whose he is.
That's right,
Look
Winston.
At that, right?
You remember our family rules. But I think, I mean, but again, I don't... I mean, I've taken a world religions class in seminary, and I've done this, and I'm, you know... But I've really only experienced the Methodist life.
Gotcha.
I have some nods to Catholicism through my husband's family and that kind of stuff and how he was brought up. Have I ever told you how I mess with him?
No.
So when we first got married. So again, Catholicism has a very regimented, like how you receive communion. The priest says this and the parishioner says that and, you know, that kind of thing.
That's here as well, right?
No, there's no rule.
Oh.
I mean, now, when we're giving you communion, we are always going to say this is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you or the cup of Christ shed for you. What you say to us in return, there's no, like, requirement, right? Well, I used to mess with Dan and be like, what do we say again? And I'd make something up every single week. Be like, oh, thou my Father of Lord, praise be. Yeah, and finally he figured it out. That was before I was a preacher. That's probably not the right thing to do. Mess with your husband at communion. Oh, Kim Myers. See, when I said, could I screw up the church in another episode? Yes. Look at what I'm capable of.
By showing your humanity and sense of humor, I don't think it's messing up anything.
So I don't know if I've deep dived into why Methodism. I can advocate for why Methodism because it's what I've been a part of. I can tell you why some other denominations don't work for me.
Wouldn't work for you.
And I don't want to, like, spit on other denominations. I do believe that there is a broad stroke of denominations for the broad stroke of humanity.
Yep.
I do think we make faith more difficult than what it needs to be, and we overcomplicate things. That poster you were talking about in my office, like, it started with three faiths.
Right.
Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, because it's a poster of the monotheistic religions, which mean the religions that have one God. And it's like it's just like
waterfall.
Broken into a thousand different timelines and it's when we don't get along, right? But yet, again, I don't think I could live out my faith fully in a Catholic church of who I am today and who I'm called to be. Maybe if I grew up in a family that was Catholic, that'd be different. I respect and I honor, and there are some things about Catholicism that I like, right? Baptist church, same thing. Never grew up in Baptist church.
No.
I don't know. Like, y'all don't do communion very often. Like, that's weird to me. Not wrong. Different is a better word. It's different. Like, again, I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody's particular religion or how they grew up.
No.
But Methodism has done me well. It has given me the opportunity. I also love that we do get teased for being such, like, kind of centrist religion where I'm not going to tell you how to believe.
Okay.
I'm going to point you to scripture. I'm going to point you to prayer. I'm going to point you to community. And, like, this podcast, I'm going to hope you ask questions about your faith.
Right.
I don't want your faith to be a rhetoric of my faith. I want it to be yours.
Right.
And you've got to fight with it a little bit and ask questions and, you know, flesh it out for yourself so that you can truly take that on and accept it as yours. And I believe in Methodism, we really give people the opportunity to ask questions, to learn, to grow, and to recognize that we're not done. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we're not done with our faith journey until we are done with this life and begin anew again in heaven.
When I first came here, Scott Anderson, nicest man in the world,
mm-hmm.
took me to lunch and he told me to look up phrases from J. John Wesley. And I remember the one I found, which is probably the most popular one, which is what is it? It's basically the gist of it I felt was almost like, make all you can, give all you can for as long as you can. But I know I'm saying it incorrect.
It's kind of his three rules.
Yeah.
Do no harm. Mm-hmm. When I was doing a Bible study on his three rules, when you think about do no harm, in general, that's hard. Because we think about harm in this bigger picture of physically, I'm not going to punch you in the face, right?
Right.
But gossip is harm, mm-hmm. and not treating others with respect. Do no harm is, and then he does say make all you can.
Right.
But also give all you can.
Right.
Don't make all you can and keep it for you. And then the third is, simply put, it's stay in love with God. It's continue that relationship and be devout in your faith. Keep that. That's important.
Yeah.
So it's called the three simple rules of John Wesley. So again, I think some of the stuff that John Wesley is quoted for, he has this quote that goes around during every election season about, and I mean, he was wise. I don't know how kind he was. I always wonder what it'd be like to have, because he was rigid.
Really?
Rigid from some of the stuff, but yet brilliant. It's funny. He was very rigid in his rules and in his beliefs, yet he broke the rules so that others could learn, right?
What was he before, and then why did he spin off to Methodism?
So John Wesley was an Anglican priest. He went to school at Oxford. He formed this thing called the Holy Club. doesn't that sound fun? It's about the pursuit of a devout Christian life. Doesn't he sound like a fun guy to hang out with? He then came to America. He got a little upset with the Anglican Church because they wouldn't ordain people in America to give the sacraments and to be a part of the community. It felt wrong. So he came to Georgia, I think. Yep, Savannah, Georgia. Didn't really work out well for him. Came back to London, and this is where he received this second conversion of his life. You'll read this thing that his heart was strangely warmed.
Meaning
the Holy Spirit reconnected and reinvigorated who he was supposed to be. At the beginning of this, I talked about, where I don't have these fancy stories about, I came to Christ and I changed my life. And
right.
But there are moments in my faith life where that my heart is strangely warmed, right? That I'm zapped by the Holy Spirit.
Well, yeah. Well, you said in college you were kind of drifting.
Yeah.
What made you go hardcore back into it?
Oh, Winston. I always had a call to be a pastor.
Right.
I got my calling when I was probably 17. And
you knew at 17 that you wanted to.
I did not know. God until I was 32. And it's such a kitschy blah, blah, blah. But I was at church camp. I was leading.
Okay.
I was with kids that came from a different economic development area in Dallas. And it was this great week. And I had this overwhelming sense that, Kim, this is what you're supposed to do.
Gotcha.
And I thought, nope. I'm going to college next year, and I'm teaching the deaf, and I'm getting my degree in special ed. And I actually,
which is cool, by the way.
I do affirm and believe that that was a calling that helped me be who I am today. So yeah. I am glad that I have over 10 years in the public education system, and half of those being, mostly all of them in some way, shape, or form, but working with children who didn't always have a voice and
yeah.
being an advocate. Then I went... I quit teaching for a variety of reasons. Mainly, we had two kids and childcare was equal to my paycheck.
Yeah.
And so it just didn't make sense. I think I was making $200 a month. And it was what am I doing? I love teaching, Winston.
Yeah.
Walking out of that classroom was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was part of my identity. I was a teacher before I was a wife. I was a teacher before I was a mom. That's who I was.
Right.
I had really centered my identity around being a school teacher.
Okay.
And proud of it. Really proud of it. And I was great at it. I loved it. Like, it just, you know, like when you do something that you're good at and you love, and it's like, it was just,
yeah,
I loved
perfect
it.
Storm.
Yeah. It was also one of the hardest jobs I've ever had in my life. It's hard. School teaching's hard. So let's just take a moment right now and bless all the educators in the world, because we're nearing the end of the school year, and each day they need our prayers. But I left and I started working at a local church.
Okay.
I worked for about a minute. I was a preschool teacher. And then, like, I swear, a week later, I was the preschool director. I started working, and I saw these pastors aren't bad people. It's going to sound like they're bad people.
Yeah.
I saw behind the curtain. I saw that pastors were real.
Okay.
Okay? But I wasn't, no. So it was probably year two. I was then the director of the Christian preschool, and I loved praying with my families. I loved teaching kids about scripture.
Yeah.
I loved most days of it, but something clicked in me at one point where I thought, I don't know if I can go back into the public education classroom and not pray with my families. I don't know if I can do that.
All right.
Then there's a whole story, and I visited a seminary, and I got admitted, and I went.
I visited a seminary.
I mean, really, I did not have time to overthink going to seminary. I just went. Like, it was like a month. And my poor husband, oh, God bless his soul. I quit the preschool. I went and worked at a new church start. Like, I flipped our life. Now, luckily, we were pretty heavily involved in a church.
Yeah.
And so the rhythm of weekends and going to church was already built in, and I'm glad we slowly built that in, because if I would have gone from, I like sleeping in, let's go occasionally, to, like, I'm working at a church, I think it would have been such a whiplash. I don't know if we could have recovered.
A shock to
yeah.
the system.
But this one, I was really involved, and I volunteered a lot and all that kind of stuff. And so I went to seminary. I cried my whole way there the first day, because I was like, I don't.
Why,
like,
did you cry?
Because I what am I doing? School is hard for me. I'm dyslexic. A seminary degree is no joke.
Really?
There's tons of reading. There's tons of writing. I was like, what am I doing? And I have two small children. Like, I'm rolling up to seminary in a minivan. What? And everybody in my class pretty much was either in their 20s or their, like, 50s. And here I am, this, like, 31-year-old, like, meh. I also was kind of a baby Christian. I grew up in the church. I learned some, but not as much as you would
think. Yeah, you were
think.
Doing like me. You're probably just drawing.
Yeah. And well, exactly. And so seminary was also crazy overwhelming, because I was, like, learning things that I had never thought about or knew about, and ugh. So, okay, we started. What was the original question? Come on, Winston. Focus.
The original question was, how and when did you know that basically Christianity / Methodism was for you?
Okay, I think I answered that. Summarize it.
And you also answered, I was going to actually ask, you know, with your children, would you kind of answer that throughout this conversation?
What?
Would you care if they decided to go to a different denomination?
I mean, I have preferences, Winston. Like, would I care is not the right question.
That's what you're secretly praying for when you're praying about the
the spouses.
The spouses, yeah.
I have preferences.
Let
but
them be Methodist and come to St. Andrew.
I just let them be at a place that can affirm people well. That's and not judge. I mean, there is right and wrong. Anyhow, that's another podcast. Okay, well, as we have rambled on, we're going to probably do one or two more this season. And if
sure.
you have any other questions that you want Winston to throw at me, you let him know. Because if you let me know, I'm not going to send them. No, I'm just kidding. I totally will. Have a great day.
Later.
Bye. I hope that you found one thing that you can connect with this week to help build your daily faith life. If you'd like, you can join us on our Facebook community, Practical Faith, for weekly prayers, questions, and most weeks a 10-minute devotion. I also invite you to check out St. Andrew's website, standrewmethodist.org. Connect with us through different podcasts, online for worship, or come join us. We're always here to connect your life to your faith.